Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? SpongeBob SquarePants.
You're listening to Swept Together, the story of a modern romance between two adventurers, at home, at work, and on the road.
We're your hosts, Christian and Annabelle. Join us as we explore the world and make our home together, wherever we end up.
Because after all, home is
where we keep our stuff.
Get out of here.
Welcome to episode 24, where we keep our stuff, which is, I think, a misnomer or a mistitled. I think so. Why are you shaking your head?
Because we're not getting rid of all of our stuff.
Right.
We're still going to have stuff.
We were talking about this morning, where we keep our stuff, but this episode is about downsizing, which is where we don't keep our stuff.
Well, but home is where we keep our stuff. This
right,
is
but
the point.
Home is also where we're getting rid of all of the stuff that's inside the house.
So home is where we keep less stuff.
I guess.
Still, our possessions will be in our house. So yeah. I stand that the title is accurate.
Okay. Well, anyway, so this week's episode, we've been talking about it for a little while, is about minimalizing our lives. Not minimizing our lives, which is totally different, but minimalizing, which is what we'll be talking about today.
Yeah, in the last episode, we talked about how we're trying to live more purposefully and with more intention, and a big part of that is downsizing and getting rid of most of our possessions. And so today we're going to talk a little bit more tactically, I guess, about how we're actually going about getting rid of all the things.
Not all the things.
All the things!
Not all the things. We still need
some things.
Right. So if you have not heard of us talking about this, we kind of touched on it in previous episodes, at least last week's episode, because my friend Jeff made fun of me when I was having a hard time saying minimalizing. And then he sent me a voicemail, and then he was like,
anemone.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff, jerk. Anyway, if you haven't heard of that, or if you didn't hear that episode, you can listen to those old episodes, including last week's, on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can just subscribe if you're in one of those, if you have one of those services, and subscribe to our podcast, and then you can see the entire feed from episode zero all the way to now.
And if you happen to be listening on iTunes or the podcast app, we would really appreciate it if you took a few minutes to rate us and leave us a review on iTunes.
Yeah. And if you don't know how to do that, you can go to our website, swepttogether.com/share the love, and it will have instructions on there, like step-by-step instructions.
Yep.
So, okay, so let's go on with the show.
Right. I thought that we would start off by telling you a story of the only item so far that I purged and then later cried over.
Big sobbing, like ugly tears.
Yes.
Ugly crying.
I cried over this item.
Raccoon eyes.
I think.
Just kidding.
Most people have a fear that when they're getting rid of their stuff, they're going to downsize. They're going to get rid of something that's really important, and they're going to have all of this regret. And I would say I've only had regret over this one thing, which was a sweatshirt from eighth grade.
From eighth grade?
Eighth grade. It was my
I thought it was a Crow Island.
No, I still have that.
Oh. Okay, so not the elementary school.
No, I still have that t-shirt. I use it as pajamas. But I had a sweatshirt.
I don't know if you glossed over that, but she can still wear her elementary school sweater today.
Elementary school as t-shirt.
An almost 30-year-old.
Yes. It was like the size of a
Annabelle's
dress
very tiny.
When I got it in fifth grade or fourth grade. But that's not what I'm talking about.
And you grew into it as an adult.
Now
you
it fits me normally.
You just got an adult-sized sweater?
Now it fits me normally. But anyway, this sweatshirt, I did kind of have a struggle fitting my head through the head hole.
The head hole?
Yeah. Because it was designed for a child.
It's just a funny.
I don't, what else do you call it?
A head hole?
The neck?
The neck?
I don't.
Hole?
I don't know. That's, anyway, whatever. I had a hard time fitting into it, but I held on to it. And the reason I held on to it was because I actually did the designs for all of our, so when we graduated eighth grade, we designed some, like a sweatshirt and some shorts and a t-shirt.
Who?
I don't know, some committee that I was on, I guess, in eighth grade. Like, I don't know if it was like the yearbook committee or
sweatshirt design committee.
Right. I don't know. I was in some group. And so I got picked, my designs got picked to be put on all of the clothes.
Wow.
That we all got to order at the end of the year. And so I had held on to this sweatshirt because not only am I like absurdly sentimental, but also this was probably the first thing that I remember ever having my, you know, my designs, my typography printed on, which was just a cool thing. So I decided that I was going to purge this item because I have, I think, 4 or 5 sweatshirts in my closet right now, which is just too many sweatshirts. And since this one didn't fit me as well, I decided I would just let it go. But I had wanted to take a picture of myself in the sweatshirt just to remember it and remember that I had it and remember, you know, have the memory of the design and things like that.
But you didn't.
I forgot. So when I realized that I had given away this sweatshirt without having photographed it, I literally woke up. I think it was like first thing in the morning. I just sobbed. I was so sad. And yeah, because I knew it was gone. There was no way that we were going to find it again. We hadn't even dropped it off at an actual Goodwill. It was at like a donation center.
Yeah.
So those get, you know, sent and then dispersed. And so there was no way of us even knowing which Goodwill it was at so that we could go look at it.
And try to find it.
It was gone.
Some little kid has it now.
Which is good.
A ninth grader.
They're going to be like, what the heck is Washburn? But
maybe. Or it could be in a pile of, you know, clothes that go to some third world country.
So this story does have a happy ending because a few weeks later, my sister texted me a photo of me in the aforementioned sweatshirt that she found at my parents' house.
Was the sweatshirt found at your parents' house or was the picture found at your parents' house?
The picture. The picture, because I had texted my sister and been like,
when was she at your parents' house?
Sobbing emojis. I donated this sweatshirt and I didn't take a picture of it. And she was there, I think it was Thanksgiving maybe.
Oh, okay.
And so she got there before us, or maybe she was there for a conference. I can't remember. But in any case, she found this photo of me wearing the sweatshirt, I think in Berlin, with my sister.
Wow.
And so now I have a photograph of it. I will be able to remember it into perpetuity. And I therefore, in the end, didn't even need to cry over anything that I donated. So far, so good.
So the moral of that story is to take pictures of stuff that you are attached to.
Yeah.
Like emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
But can't fit into anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the moral of the story.
Okay. So the moral of the story, among other things, is to just take a picture because it's less clutter. Although, we also tend to hold on to stuff like pictures mm-hmm. that we also don't need. Like my hard drive is full of pictures and stuff that I've been slowly siphoning off to like Amazon Cloud Drive
mm-hmm.
because I don't need it in my immediate computer. It's just taking up space
mm-hmm.
and it, you know, my computer's complaining that I don't have any more space. So anyway, so let's talk about how we are going about downsizing because
right.
There's methods.
There's so many methods
to the madness. Or you could just chuck it. James Altucher, which uh-huh. is the one of the guys that I listen to on his podcast, the James Altucher Show.
Mm-hmm.
He is a fan. He just said, he was like, just throw it all away. Like, just throw it all away. Don't even think about it. And just keep the, you know, essential clothing. And then, like, throw away all of the crap that you don't need or that you haven't looked at in years because you don't need it. And it will be like a weight lifted off your shoulders. And I don't know what I mean. I know what he means by that because like it's been a weight, you know, getting rid of stuff
mm-hmm.
right now. And then like we're surrounded by, you know, piles of things that we're going to be donating or throwing away or whatever. And I'm going to be glad when this is done.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, let's talk about the methods.
There's, a couple popular methods. There's the KonMari method, which has been very popular lately. She wrote, Marie Kondo wrote The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up.
What does KonMari mean?
It's just a, her name is Marie Kondo.
Kondo.
And so I think the KonMari method is just like what she calls her method of, she works with clients.
Yeah.
To help them. And she just coined this term, the KonMari method.
Okay. So it's not like a Japanese word or...
No, I think it's just a
mishmash
of her
okay.
name. Okay. And so that is basically decluttering by category the things that don't bring you joy.
Yeah.
Then there's the
How does she define joy? Or like what brings you joy? Okay, so what's the definition of that?
I think it's similar to, you know, the minimalists talk about what adds value to your life.
Yeah.
So something like a wooden spoon may not bring you joy in the sense that it's such a beautiful wooden spoon, right. but it brings you joy in the sense that it's your favorite spoon for baking cookies.
Yeah.
And so it's useful and practical.
Right.
And adds value.
Right.
So I think, I forget
how she
exactly.
Joy to be also things that add value to your life.
Right. I mean, I think, I forget exactly how she defined it. But yeah, it was, you know, kind of things that are beautiful, but also like things that are functional to you.
Yeah.
And so the minimalists, who we just mentioned, they have a thing called the packing party. Do you remember them talking about this in the book?
The packing party. So we just read the memoirs of the minimalists, the guys of the minimalists. And they had this thing called the packing party where they brought all of their friends over to their house one day and packed as if they were moving as if he was moving because he was focusing on one of the guys. And so they packed all of his things and labeled them and categorized each box, etc., so that they knew like where all of the stuff was. And they packed everything. And over the course of a month, was it a month?
I think it was a month, yeah.
The guy whose apartment was packed up, he would unpack the things that he used in the course of the month. And those things that he used, he kept. And then everything else that wasn't used was like
anything that was still in the box at the end of the month. And he even quote-unquote packed, I'm doing air quotes right now with my fingers, all of his furniture. So like he would put, you know, a sheet blanket, over his couch or something. And so then when he sat on his couch, he'd take the sheet off and it would be unpacked or whatever. Right. So he literally packed
everything.
Everything, and got rid of anything that he didn't use in 30 days.
Right. Now that's a little extreme, I'm sure, for some people, but it does work. And, you know, we've been doing something like that. Well, I've been doing something like that in my closet.
Mm-hmm.
I have, like, I'll have all my clothes, and then I put a special wooden hanger, which is, it could be whatever you want. It's just a marker. So I put this wooden hanger to the left of all of my clothes. You could put it to the right or left, whichever. It doesn't really matter. Put it onto something. And then once you use a piece of clothing, then you put it beyond the hanger.
You hang it on the other side.
On the other side of the hanger.
The divider.
Which is a divider. So eventually you're going to have this hanger, and you're going to have clothes on one side that you have used, and then clothes on the other side that you have not used. And so I said, you know, like 3 months ago, I was like, when we get to the RV, I will get rid of all the clothes that I hadn't used in the last 6 months,
mm-hmm.
because clearly, you know, I haven't used it in the last 6 months, so it's not necessary.
Right.
And so that's like one of the ways that I've been trying to figure that out.
I also did that in my closet.
Which is very effective for you.
I used to do this in my closet just to challenge myself to wear things that I didn't normally wear, because I think we, you know, we have way more clothes in our closet, all of us do,
than we need,
than we wear on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And a lot of things we hold on to because maybe they don't fit just right, but we like the color, or maybe someone gave it to us, or maybe we spent a lot of money on it. Like, clothes, I think, is one of the hardest things. I mean, especially for women, I would think, but I guess maybe for guys too. I don't know. You don't seem to be very attached to your clothes. You've got your like formula.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll talk about that in a little bit, but you know, I'm used to just wearing the same things.
Yeah. So I used to do it as a challenge to be like, well, what am I not wearing and how can I make use of it instead of buying new things? So that could be, you know, that's not exactly minimalism, but it is curbing the shopping habit. So this time I decided I would, you know, kind of do the same thing. Anything that's on the other side of, I have a hanger with scarves on it. And so that's like my divider.
That's your divider?
Between the clothes that I've worn and the clothes that I haven't. But it also forces
Wait, so am I supposed to put all this stuff, hang all
you
this?
You have been on the left.
On the left? Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Yeah. But it forces me to wear things that I wouldn't normally wear and then see, why am I not wearing this? Is it because it doesn't fit right? Then I should just get rid of it. Other ways to do it, there's like Jess Lively on her blog 1,000 years ago had this getting rid of 100 things challenge. And so she'd just get rid of 100 things. Whatever time period, whether it was like 2 weeks or a month, or, and then she upped it later and made it 100 categories of things. So like, say she got rid of 3 bottles of nail polish that only counted as one thing. Cause it's
nail polish.
Nail polish.
As opposed to 3 bottles of nail polish that only counted as one. Okay.
Right. So she upped the ante for herself. And then there's also challenges where, you know, you get rid of one thing on the first day of the month and 2 things on the second day of the month and 3 things on the third day of the month and on and so forth.
Janice is doing that. Our friend Janice is doing the minimalist challenge, and she's doing that exact thing, which after a while really adds up.
So that's kind of a way of easing yourself into getting rid of things. Or, you know, you can set a goal for yourself that every time I buy one new thing, I'm going to get rid of one old thing, or I'm going to get rid of 2 old things or 5 old things, however you want to set it. That way you're paying attention to things coming in and out of your home and, you know, working towards less things.
Then there's a certain order by which the KonMari, is it KonMari?
Yeah.
KonMari method, you're supposed to get rid of stuff in a certain order.
She has a whole checklist. I'll link to the checklist that I used because it was super helpful. And my process, how I got rid of all of my stuff before the move, was I went through this checklist category by category. And so I would do like one or two categories a weekend. You know, I'd say like, okay, Saturday I'm going to do clothes. Clothes is the first thing on her list. And then the second day I'm going to do, you know, whatever the second category is.
Is it books?
Books was the second, yeah. And then papers was the third. So, but within that, you know, there's shirts, pants, shoes.
Yeah.
Cookbooks, reference books, all kinds of things. So I went through category by category. And the nice thing about that, what I found really helpful was a lot of times you know, for example, I have books all over my house. So I had books in my bedroom. I had books in my office. I had books in the living room on the bookshelf. I had books in the TV stand. So you don't really realize how many books you have because they're all spread out. But once she has you collect everything from that category and put it in a big pile on the floor so you can see, wow, this is actually how many things I have in this category. So that was really helpful for me. And it was how I prepared for my downsize and my move was going through checking off one category at a time and just moving forward like that. And then the very last thing she has you do is your sentimental items. So
because
photos, knickknacks, mementos. Is that because
you're already used to like getting rid of stuff and then you've conditioned your like brain?
Yeah, you've basically like she eases you into, you know, it's easy to declutter papers relatively, you know, because it's just like.
Or like clothes because you have piles and piles of them and you're like, right. I've never worn this or I haven't worn this in like a year.
So you ease into.
The mindset.
The mindset. And then, you know, her theory is by the time you get to the mementos, you fine tuned the process of figuring out like what actually brings me joy.
Yeah.
And so by the time that you get to, you know, your tchotchkes, you have a little less disconnect.
Yeah.
Or a little more disconnect, I guess, between you and your stuff.
And our experience so far has been, your experience has been very successful in that we moved you out of your house.
Yep.
In like half a day.
Yep.
Because you'd already gotten rid of all this stuff and it fit into one U-Haul trailer, like a 10 by whatever.
Right.
Trailer, 10 foot trailer. Mm-hmm. And then we threw it all into a storage unit, you know, like the couch that we wanted to keep and all of that. And it was really easy because you had already done that.
Right.
And
that included some packing time. That wasn't even all moving boxes because you guys helped me finish packing some stuff.
Right. And then my experience so far, I haven't been going by. I know you sent me the list, and I'm sorry I haven't been using it. But I hadn't. And
as long as you're doing something that works for you, it doesn't matter whether or not you use my list.
Right, right. Well, I mean, it's been taking longer for me, I think, just because I am not as focused. Because, you know, when you have that list and it says focus on just books, you know, I'm like focusing on all these things, and then I get distracted because I'm like, well, should I? And then that happens. So, you know, definitely maybe look into doing some method that works for you.
Right.
And I don't recommend the I'm just going to start in this room method.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. And it's not, I mean, it's working, but I think more slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And also you're better at following rules than I am.
That is true. Yeah, I'm all about the checklist in all areas of my life, so it comes naturally to me to just be like, oh, look at this checklist, I'm gonna use this.
Yeah,
boom 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 boom.
But like now we have piles of things laying around, you know, my house.
Yes.
And it's, I know it's driving you crazy, it's driving me crazy, because we're like living now in clutter, which minimalizing is supposed to like declutter things,
right?
But in the process, it's like way more clutter, because you used to have stuff. We used to have stuff and then we'd like put it away in different places.
Yeah, I'm typically very organized.
Right.
But and then, it seems like since we've bought the RV in August, we've just been living in clutter.
Right.
Things always get worse before they get better. Anyone who's moved knows this. Because you have to take everything out of the cabinets or out of the bookshelf or out of the drawers in order to sort through it. And then we have piles for Goodwill and piles for the rescue mission and piles for the garbage and then piles for the RV and piles for the storage unit. And we're just like living
in piles. Right.
And it's, part of it, it's crazy.
Part of it for me is I have, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I have this like kind of guilt with throwing stuff away, not because I'm attached to it, but because of like maybe the environmental impact of it. I'm like, well, it seems wasteful because I could, you know, I can donate this stuff, which I've been doing. And so that, you know, that's been helpful. And then, but, you know, it takes time to do all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And we only have like, you know, a small car. And the, you know, I also have this mindset like, oh, I can sell all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what I need to do is to just say, okay, if I could sell this stuff for X amount of dollars, like mm-hmm. let's set a threshold, let's mm-hmm. say $50 or more, then I'll keep it and put it on Craigslist, which I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't think I can sell it for $50 or more, then I'm just going to have to say that it needs to go to Goodwill. You know,
yeah.
Like I had this guitar amp, a little tiny guitar amp
mm-hmm.
that I have on Craigslist for $30. Nobody's buying it. And, you know, I'm just like, well, it could be. And, you know, I kind of like rationalize and with myself. So then it sticks around, which is the opposite of what I want to do.
Yeah.
So let it be known right now, if I can't sell something for $50 or more, then I'm going to sell it on Craigslist. Or then I'm going to just...
A little Freudian slip there.
I'm just going to donate it if I can't sell it for $50 or more. I don't think I could sell it for $50 or more.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm selling that grill outside for $75. So also I don't wanna, I'm just going to get rid of it if it comes down to it. So if anybody's looking for a free grill, you can come by my place and
give us $75.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know whether it was from the minimalists or where we heard this, but somebody was talking about how we tend to value the stuff that we already have higher than stuff that we don't.
What?
So say I have a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
That I never wear, but it's, you know, in my mind, I'm like, well, this pair of shoes is worth $45, you know, but yeah. To go out and buy a new pair of shoes, maybe I wouldn't spend, you know, we tend to inflate the value of things that we have in our house already.
What do you mean?
Like, because we own it.
Yeah.
We claim that it's more valuable when in fact, a lot of these things are really easy to replace.
Okay.
Like, so if I have a pair of gray sneakers and I'm like, oh, like I have this pair of gray sneakers and like, if I get rid of them, like what if I want a pair of gray sneakers?
Like someday you're going to need to.
Right. So we say, oh, this pair of gray sneakers is valuable to me because what if I need to replace it? But a lot of times we overestimate what it might cost to replace it.
Right.
Or we, you know, I don't know really how to explain it other than that.
Let's talk about the Airbnb thing. Okay. So it's a perfect example.
Yeah.
So Airbnb, everybody knows what Airbnb is. If not, go to airbnb.com and figure it out.
Or listen to any of our episodes where we've been somewhere else.
So, yeah. So we go, so Airbnb, one of my roommates has recently moved out, and instead of getting another roommate for just a couple of months, it didn't make sense to do that because then they'd have to like move out again. So I was like, hey, why don't we instead just Airbnb it and see if we can make money, the same amount of money that, you know, my former roommate was giving us for rent. And we had this idea, but only after we had already sold all of your stuff.
Right.
From your house after the move out of your house. We didn't think about Airbnb-ing until like after somebody had already come and bought all of your
bedroom furniture, all of my like side tables. I had gotten rid of a ton of like wall art and decorative stuff
that we could have used, but you know, whatever, neither here nor there. Someday was literally like now,
right? Like and a week after we had gotten rid of all this stuff,
we could have used all of that stuff. But the lesson we learned was that yes, it would have been more, maybe a little bit more convenient to have kept that stuff and then used it here for the Airbnb. But what we got from it, it was like we sold it all for like $500, right?
The bedroom set, yeah.
Yeah, the bedroom set and all that other stuff. Basically, it was like $500. So what we did was to make a budget for furnishing this Airbnb room with $500. So essentially, it's kind of a wash. Right. We didn't make money. We didn't lose money. But now there's stuff in. Now we furnished the Airbnb for actually less than $500 so far, you know.
Well, thankfully, I still had kept, some lamps and some art and things around that I was wanting to save for after. Because like we mentioned, we are keeping a small storage unit with
stuff that we will need. That are going to be essentials, like a couch.
Right. And then the, you know, the sentimental things or the things that are, you know, so, like so our style that we'll want to have them when we get back.
Right. So the Airbnb situation was, you know, very, very, it taught us a good lesson in that someday, while it may come, but it's not the end of the world. If, you know, you get rid of something and you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have gotten rid of that stuff because, you know, I could have used it right now. Well, it's replaceable. I mean, unless you're talking about your sweater, right?
Right.
Which you were wearing forever and ever. And I'm sure it was getting a little dingy and it's, it was like a house sweater now.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that you were going to wear.
Right, because it didn't fit me very well, obviously. It was from eighth grade.
Right. So someday might come, but someday can also be, you can always find stuff on Craigslist for cheap. I mean, I have, I think, $200 left. And that's after paying, you know, these license fees for Airbnb now that the city of Denver is levying for people that want to do Airbnb. So it wasn't even, we didn't even spend that much to refurnish a bedroom that we had sold of yours.
It was just the, you know, the logistical effort maybe that we had to put into it. But yeah, it's basically, I think this is like a perfect example of people's greatest fear when they're getting rid of stuff is, what if I need it someday?
Right.
And someday showed up for us, like literally immediately after we had gotten rid of everything, which is a bit ironic, but also we survived. It was okay. Right. And so I think that's just for us, even though we were, you know, at least I was initially very frustrated, it proves the point that like, hey, you know, the stuff that we got rid of, like it's exchangeable, it's replaceable.
Yeah.
It wasn't the stuff that added value or brought us joy. It was just stuff.
Right. Here's a story of the opposite of that is all of this stuff that's in this storage unit that's downstairs. There's a storage unit in my house that's like below us. And I've kept...
It's like a little mini garage, except there's no car in there.
Right. It's like, I don't know, a quarter of the size of a garage.
Yeah, like a big walk-in closet.
Right, a giant walk-in closet. And it's downstairs underneath the townhome. And I've got boxes of school stuff that I was contemplating getting rid of or not getting rid of, or keeping or whatever. And these are from college. I'm talking about college. Like more than 15 years ago kind of stuff. Like this is like homework or notes that I took and classes that I was in. And I had the hardest time getting rid of that. I don't know if I actually have gotten rid of it or if I just like put it in a box and I was like, okay, I'm going to get rid of it at some point. But let's just pretend I haven't gotten rid of it, because I think I haven't gotten rid of it yet, honestly. But
I'm glad we're doing this episode so you have some accountability to get rid of all of your stuff.
But it's like, I was...
Tweet us, people. Tell him.
Yeah. I've been keeping all of that stuff. And why? Because, I don't know, I think it's like, maybe it was like a part of who I was or am. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to... like lose any of that stuff. Not that I've ever in the last even 5 years, not even 10, no, let's say even the last 10 years, I've not looked at those folders or any of the notes or whatever, except to like when I flip through, I'm like, oh yeah, these are my notes from college. Like, oh look, I did differential equations one time and I felt smart because I was like, oh, I did that at some point in my life.
Yeah.
But like, that's not who I am today. It's not like I'm a math major or like a mathematician or anything, that I don't need any of the differential equation stuff.
Yep.
I used to know. Like, I never used that in my real life. So I don't know why I hold on to it. I think it's probably just that, you know, that was part of my identity at some point.
Totally.
And, you know, I just need to get rid of it because it's not necessary.
Yeah. I think I held on to almost all of my school stuff as well.
Why did you?
Until, I think for the same reason, I excelled academically in high school, and...
She's a smarty pants,
so
is what she's saying.
So I think it was, you know, a kind of like a badge of honor, like proof, like you were saying, like proof that I did calculus.
Yeah.
And that I got A's. Even though
today
I'm not using any calculus in anything that I'm doing. But at one point, you know, I knew how to do all this stuff.
Right.
And
did you keep all of that stuff?
No.
Or have you gotten rid of all
of it? I've gotten rid of most of it.
Did you just throw it away?
Yep. I recycled it. Like, I pulled it out of the binders and recycled it.
Oh, and put it in the recycle bin?
Yeah. Because when my parents downsized 3 years ago? 3 years ago, it was 2014, spring of 2014, when my parents downsized from my childhood home, they were like, you have all these boxes in the basement and we're moving, so you need to come sort all this stuff. So I had to go and decide, you know, what was really important. And obviously there were some things like my baby blanket and my teddy bear from when I was... you know, a toddler. Those things I kept. And a few school projects that I was really, really proud of, I did keep. I remember there was like a English project I did about Beowulf, I think.
About Beowulf?
Yeah, it was really random, but I was really proud of this project for whatever reason. Because I did this beautiful like illustration for the cover of the project.
Uh-huh.
And I just was really proud of how it turned out. So I did keep things like that, but it was like, I didn't keep my like daily homework assignments, which I had in binders.
Yeah.
So I feel your pain.
I still have it. But I mean, it goes into our last week's episode of living purposefully, I think. So from, you know, from here on out, I kind of, in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm getting rid of all this stuff. Yes, it might have an environmental impact, or, you know, if I'm throwing away stuff, somebody might be able to use it or whatever. And if I happen to throw it away, then that would suck. And so here from now on, it's a good lesson for me to know, okay, well, do I really need to buy this thing? Because, eventually down the line, I don't want to have to think about making the decision of, well, do I throw it away? Do I give it away? Do I do it? Because this is hard work. Downsizing is a lot of hard work.
Oh my gosh.
And it sucks, but also if you live in a purposeful way, like the stuff that we buy won't have to be downsized in the future, because, you know, like now our thing is to buy good quality things, but in lesser quantities, like, right. And then buy brands that you believe in. For example, like, my shirts, like, I don't know if people have been noticing, but pretty much every, like all of our Instagram pictures and stuff, I'm usually wearing like one of five shirts, because these shirts are made by Untuck It. They're a little bit more expensive, you know, something like $75 to $100 each. But they're good quality and they fit me really well. It makes me feel good wearing them. I'm wearing one right now. And I don't think that in the future, I mean, it's a classic style. It's not a fad.
Right.
You know, it's not like Junko jeans that I had when I was in college that I would rock all day long. And
you mean the ones you're wearing right now?
No.
Just kidding. He's not wearing Junko jeans.
I'm not wearing Junko jeans. But that was like a thing that, you know, I loved wearing those jeans, but it's not like they weren't classic styles that would stand the test of time. They were just a fad. Mm-hmm. And I'm never going to wear Junko jeans again. Maybe. Unless they come back. Maybe.
Who knows?
But it's like buying things that are classic styles that are of good quantity. Yes, you're going to pay more. And yeah, you're gonna wear them more often. But, you know, it looks good on you. So then you mm-hmm. don't have to think about, like, what am I going to wear today? I wonder if it's going to look good or if I'm going to feel good about wearing it. So that's what I would recommend. I mean, like, you know, Steve Jobs, he didn't look different every day. He wore the same things. He wore jeans and then like that black turtleneck. Why? Because he didn't have to think about, he probably had like, you know, 10 of these black turtlenecks mm-hmm. and that's all he wore all the time. And that was his thing and it became his signature style. But, you know, he didn't have to spend any brain cells thinking about what he was going to wear that day because he knew exactly what he was going to wear that day. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, buying brands that you believe in, like Patagonia. We have Patagonia jackets mm-hmm. that keep us warm and are environmentally good because they make an effort to purposefully make their products with as little environmental impact as possible. Mm-hmm. Like they changed their microfiber or no, what is it?
The fleece.
The fleece, because they figured out that when we wash fleece, like all this junk gets thrown into the to the water system and it's bad. And then, you know, we have like this thing where we ask ourselves, will it fit in the RV? As in,
are we going to get rid of it in 6 weeks when we move into the RV?
Right. So we don't buy stuff that we can't mm-hmm. use in the RV almost immediately. And since we have such a limited space, it makes us think about that kind of thing. So it really, it's just a matter of living purposefully like we've been saying and figuring out what exactly makes you happy or
brings
here?
You joy.
Yes.
And adds value.
What brings you joy? What adds value to your life? Keep that stuff and get rid of the unnecessary, unessential things that give you marginal amount of value or marginal amount of joy.
Yep.
And speaking of bringing joy, do you want to do the sweep up?
Hopefully more than a marginal amount of joy.
I said brings joy.
I know.
Not brings a marginal amount of joy.
I know, but you just finished saying.
I know. Do you want to do the sweep up?
Sure.
Okay.
What made you feel loved today?
What made me feel loved was being able to sleep in today and just walk to breakfast together. And well, you had a Starbucks and I had a sandwich. Which I guess is your breakfast. I don't know.
Did not have chocolate chip cookies for breakfast, Mom. I swear.
And that spending time with you on Sunday mornings, walking around the neighborhood, just makes me feel loved. How about you? What made you feel loved?
It made me feel loved that you didn't rush me out of bed this morning and let me just sleep in and relax. I know I haven't been like sleeping that well this week, and so it was really nice to just take things slow this morning and not feel any kind of pressure to hurry up and get on with our tasks for the day. So that made me feel loved. So for those of you who are listening in, what made you feel loved today? Have you taken any steps towards a more minimalist lifestyle, and what kinds of things have been working for you? We would love to hear about your journey and know if any of the things that we shared today were
added value
or brought you joy. You can show up at swepttogether.com/episode24, which is where all of the show notes, all of the links to the different methods that we mentioned, all of that will be in our show notes. And there's also share links so that you can share today's episode or just the podcast in general with your friends, your family, your significant other, or your business partner at swepttogether.com.
And if you are on social media, you can find us everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and just look for at Swept Together. And if you are on iTunes, or if you have the podcast app on your iPhone, please rate us on there so that we can get more listeners.
Yeah.
And we're slowly getting more and more listenership, I think. Woohoo! Like lots of people. I found some people that are listening to us from France.
That's so cool.
I don't know any French. Sorry.
Bonjour. Deux croissants, s'il vous plaît.
What?
Two croissants, please. That's all I know. I mean, that's really the most important thing.
Oh, ho, ho. You gotta,
God.
You gotta do that.
We
too.
Just lost all of our listeners from France.
Sorry.
Bye, guys. We love you.
We only had one, I think.
Anyway, we wanted to leave you just with this final thought that we know it's hard to break old purchasing habits and clear the clutter. It is hard. We are in the middle of it with you guys. We have not arrived, but we're on the way. And we just want to encourage you that being surrounded by the things that add value to your life is so worth it. Because if you think about all of the mental energy that you spend in a given week, cleaning, organizing, tidying, putting things away, or when you have bigger things like moves, you know, all of the mental energy that goes into stuff like that, the less stuff you have, the easier it is. You know, the less energy you have to use on those kinds of things.
Right.
And so, yeah, we're not there yet, but we're on the way, and we're thankful to have you guys on the journey with us.
Yeah. And thanks for tuning in every week and listening. We really enjoy this time together, just talking about these things going on in our lives and hopefully helping other people out as well. And
you're the best.
We love hearing about your stories too. That makes us feel loved as well. So until next time, we'll talk to you soon.
Love you guys.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Say something, baby.
Okay.
That's a cute stamp.
A 12. What? I really judge people who have AOL.com email addresses.
It's so vintage and trendy. SpongeBob SquarePants, SpongeBob SquarePants, SpongeBob SquarePants.
That's not how it goes, babe. What do you mean?
Why did you say where we creep our stuff?
No, I said keep our stuff.
Sounded like creep.
One, two, three. Where we keep our stuff.
Man. You didn't say
home is
where we keep our stuff.
One, two, three. Home is
where we keep
our crap.
You're just doing this on purpose.
Yeah. Okay.
That's your job, to cut out all of my sighs.
You're like, where? Hey.
That is not even remotely what I sounded like.